programme as a podcast by going to the website at bbcworldservice.com. Next week, it won't come as any surprise to pet owners that animals have personalities, but scientists have been looking at why.
From our own correspondent.
Storytelling really is the oldest art. We all know in our bones a good story when we hear it, and we all love one. And week in, week out, you find great stories from all around the world on From Our Own Correspondent.
Alan Johnston presents From Our Own Correspondent, Sunday at 12 CET on the BBC World Service.
Join a global conversation with the BBC. Just go to bbcworldservice.com and click Interact to play your part in the age of open news. bbcworldservice.com.
This is the BBC in Naples.
CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. This is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie, and today we're talking with Joan Ranquette, the author of Communication with All Life. She is an animal communicator, an animal psychic, and she will be taking your calls. So if you have a question about your pet or animals in general, feel free to give us a call. The number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And you can also email spiritualshow@gmail.com. And I already have a question that's been emailed in. If you want to email, again, it's spiritualshow@gmail.com. And you can listen online at citr.ca. You can hear live streaming audio or podcasts after the fact. Or you may right now be listening to cosmicdimensions.com. It's a radio station, an online radio station down in the States, and maybe there's some people listening from there. So I'd like to welcome Joan to the show. Hello, Joan.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing good.
Good. Well, I have lots of questions for you. First of all, you have a book, and it is about communication with all life, and I'm almost at the end of the book right now, and I really like how you talk about your experiences with animal communication, but you also teach other people how to communicate with animals themselves. Is that right?
That's right. I fundamentally believe that we're all animal communicators. So I want, you know, I guess my mission is to help people understand that. And I, you know, in my work itself, you know, I'm there just for when people get kind of sidetracked by, you know, a situation that's going on. But my favorite thing to do is actually to teach and to, you know, help people sort of reconnect to the fact that they are communicating at all times.
Fantastic. Now, as I've been reading your book, I've been writing down so many questions, and I'm sure an hour is not going to be enough to ask all the questions. Plus, I'm sure there's people that want to get on the air right now. If you want to ask a question to Joan about animal communication, the number is 604-822-2487. Now, Joan, you started out with horses, and you kind of fell into this. Can you give us a little summary on how you got started in animal communicating?
Well, I've had horses since I was seven. And that being said, I also was the type to be like, you know, if I found a kitten I liked, I put it in a box in the front of our house and woke up the next morning like it was Christmas and said, "Oh, look, Mom, someone's left a kitten on the door." So I've also been a dog and cat lover. But in Los Angeles, in the early 90s, I had bred a horse, and the horse had colic the night of the birth, and she stayed alive for two more months, but mostly in ICU at a horse hospital, and I ended up with an orphan colt who I did everything wrong with, so I'm a big fan of good behavior. And I did everything wrong nutritionally, too. So, I mean, the learning curve on that was really huge. But I had used animal communicators before that, and I used animal communicators through this whole experience. And I ended up, you know, I was in the film industry, so I was really pretty invested in what I was doing. I really wanted to continue down the track, but no matter what happened, I kept bumping up against the fact that I could do this, and I would take classes just for my own learning. And I ended up, you know, it started out that I was just going for fun to people's houses and barns to talk to dogs, cats, and horses, and eventually I had to start charging for gas, and then eventually I started have to charge it for my time. So it took over my life.
But it sounds like it's something that you really love doing and that you're very talented at. I've been reading some of the stories in your book and how these animals are completely changed by the experience of basically you enlightening their owners on how to communicate with them and what their needs are.
Yeah, well, for the most part, I love Cesar Millan's quote that he's not really ever training the dog, he's training the people. So, and it's some big shifts happen both with the animals and the people.
Fantastic. Well, I have a question about in the book you talk a lot about animals needing jobs in the house, especially if there's, for example, like two alpha males in the house, that they need to have their own separate purposes for being there and giving them jobs. And I'm wondering how you communicate that to them. Do you actually just say, okay, Fido, this is your job here, and how do you communicate that?
Well, two ways. I always have the people kind of review what sort of what the highlights or what the strong points of each of the animals are individually. And so then from there we kind of give a little title to it. And the thing that people don't realize is, until you know, is that our minds are, you know how when you watch some stupid show on E! Entertainment and you watch the paparazzi and the cameras are clicking on and off as the people walk down the red carpet?
Yep.
Our minds are working that fast with pictures at all times. So no matter what, when you are speaking out loud, you can't help but to give a picture. And the picture and the words you say out loud are going to be in alignment. So if you continually say, you're my hero, or you get to be in charge of the house, you're automatically sending the picture. So animals communicate in pictures, words, and feelings. And so they are constantly, you know, tracking our minds, trying to follow what pictures we have going on. They take their lead from our feelings or our pictures or our thoughts. And when we are, you know, confused about a situation, like we're bothered about bad behavior, yet we want them to be this other thing, as we focus on the bad behavior, unfortunately, we are sending mixed pictures. So I actually have people, even though people would love to get to the point of just sending the message telepathically, they are when they're speaking out loud. Does that make sense?
Okay, so it sounds like what you're saying is that the animal isn't predominantly getting the message from your words, but you speaking those words and having those thoughts is creating a picture, and that's how they're picking up on that.
Yeah, a picture that's in alignment as opposed to sitting there. I mean, of course they get some words. Like I could tell my half border collie right now to get the ball as opposed to the toy, and she knows the difference. And you know, who knows, maybe it is just the picture I'm sending, but they do know some words. Like, you know, my horses certainly know no. Mm-hmm. And they know no with swear words on it is really bad, but they do understand some words. But we're actually all kind of living in this, you know, I know you do a lot with the law of attraction and what have you. We're all living in an instinctual state, and most of us aren't aware of how much we're all receiving pictures. So, yes, the words just match up better with the pictures, because if we slide back into, oh, God, the cat pooped out of the box again, you know, and so you have to almost retrain your mind for the behavior you want. And a lot of times saying it out loud helps the pictures to stay strong.
Fantastic explanation. Thank you, Joan. So speaking of cats not using the litter box, I do have a question for you that was emailed in. Right now you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. This is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. And we are talking with Joan Ranquette, author of Communication with All Life. She is an animal communicator, animal psychic. If you have a question for Joan, the number to call is 604-822-2487. And Joan, a friend of mine, her name is Stephanie, she wanted to ask about her cat. She has two cats, and one of them, his name is Loki. He's a black cat, an adult male, and he has been peeing on the floor for months, just not using the litter box very much at all, sporadically. And the other night they put him outside, because he had just kept peeing on the floor and they didn't want to wake up with it on the floor. So they put him outside, which is out on a roof of another building next connected to their, apartment. And in the morning he was gone from the roof. So it's not like he just walked away. And so she's wondering where he is, if he's crossed over, if he's safe. And so I'm wondering if it's possible for you to tune in to Loki right now.
How many days has he been gone?
I think it's been a couple weeks. It's been at least a week and maybe two.
I mean, I think he's still in his body. He may have, I mean, it sounds like he was pretty pissed off, so to speak, already by the peeing. My sense is he's being fed by someone around there. I hope she has signs up and has, you know, checked in with, I don't know if, you know, down, and here in the States we have, you know, animal control and we have shelters and things like that. And with animal control, you can usually find out if they've picked up any bodies. But I don't, it does, it feels like to me he's circling the camp, so to speak. He's kind of checking out where he's getting food and what have you. If someone's taken him in, did he get along well with the other cat?
I believe so. He did. There were two cats, and the other cat doesn't seem to have a problem using the litter box. But this one cat, they were thinking about having him live in another home or finding a farm for him to live on or something. They were really to the point where they didn't know what to do because they did all the cleaning with the special products.
Stuff, to, you know. I know. That's such a hard one. And I've found some amazing products for stuff like that, but it's still, you know, it's a challenge. And you know, unfortunately, that's a perfect example of where, you know, you're frustrated and you're cleaning and you can't help but to be frustrated and cleaning. And so you're actually accidentally sending the picture to the cat that, you know, go ahead and pee here on the rug. Because they're not going to say, oh, she's mad about it. They just see the continual picture of cleaning on the rug. If she does want the cat back, I would get the signs out and start talking to people because I don't think he's gone too far, but he may already have, you know, snuggled his way into somebody else's apartment.
He is a very loving and snuggly cat, so I could definitely see that.
Yeah. He's going to find somebody that, you know, is going to just think he's the greatest. And I think he didn't mind the other cat, but I think he kind of wants to be a one-man show.
So it sounds like he maybe needs more attention, and the frustrated feelings of the peeing on the floor all the time is just sending out, because that's what's expected. It's expected that you're going to come home and find that on the floor.
Right. Even if you're sitting at work and you're thinking, God, I hope he used, you know, he didn't pee on the rug. You're accidentally sending, like, an energetic email. Okay, pee on the rug.
Because it's just like, I know that you listen to, you've studied some Abraham, Esther, and Jerry Hicks. We talk about that a lot on the show here. And it's basically like the universe and animals. You mentioned in your book, they don't understand the don't.
Exactly. That's where I love the work of Abraham and with Jerry and Esther Hicks is that, you know, they'll say that what you focus on expands, and, you know, we can't help it. I remember a million years ago, a friend of mine told me that he was focusing on not having a relationship, and by doing that, a million girls were calling him. And, I mean, I wasn't even into this stuff at the time. I said, why don't you just focus on being single? If you're focusing on not having a relationship, you're going to attract all these girls that want a relationship with you.
Exactly. So I think that's an excellent point. If you have a cat or any kind of pet that's misbehaving by your standards of what's acceptable in your home, you really want to be focusing on the behavior that you do want.
Yeah, I mean, I tell people all the time, even at work, have pictures up of litter boxes if you need it, you know. So that anytime you feel yourself sliding into that mild anxiety about what you're going to find at home, just, you know, if you have to make a litter box song in the drive home, then make a litter box song. Focus on the litter box. Just litter box, litter box, litter box. I'm glad you're going in the litter box.
Excellent. Well, we're going to take a break, and so I'm just going to lower the volume here. Joan, if you want to get on the line and ask Joan Ranquette a question, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR, or you can email spiritualshow@gmail.com. We'll be right back in just a moment on CITR.
Zipcar gets it. You live your life 4 months at a time. Commitment freaks you out. Your most expensive asset is your laptop, and even that's portable. Why own a car when you can have a Mini for cruising with friends, a roomy Yaris for moving your affordable Swedish furniture into your dorm room, and a Ford Escape for when you take a break from homework to hit the North Shore slopes?
UBC students get a sweet discount on Zipcar membership, $30 for the year. You can reserve by the hour or day, and gas, insurance, and 150 kilometers per day are always included. Your first step is to put down that slice of pizza and sign up at zipcar.com/UBC. After that, just head to one of the locations on campus to pick up your car, and the rest is up to you.
CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. This is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. We're talking with Joan Ranquette, author of Communication with All Life. She is an animal communicator, also known as an animal psychic. If you have a question about your animals, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And I'll put you on the air with your question right away. And you may be listening online at CITR.ca. Also, starting today, you may be listening to another radio station, an online radio station called Cosmic Dimensions. And they're at cosmicdimensions.com. So thank you for broadcasting on that site as well. I really appreciate it. So, Joan.
Yes.
Hi, you still there?
Yes.
Thanks again for being with us. I'm having a really good time getting into this. And so I'm wondering, oh, there's already a caller on the line.
Sorry. Oh, goody.
Yeah. Oh, CITR, you're on the air.
Hi, I was just calling in to see if I could ask a question.
Yes, go for it. Joan, can you hear the caller?
Yes, I'm having trouble hearing all of a sudden, but yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I have a 3-year-old Western Pleasure mare, mm-hmm. and I'm just wondering if she's going to be, her name is Ginger, and just wondering if she's going to be willing to work to get me into the show ring, if she likes her job and is going to be willing to do it.
And she's 3 years old?
3 years old.
What breed?
She's an Appaloosa.
Okay. I'm going to get quiet just for 1 second so you guys can talk amongst yourselves.
Okay.
All right, so right now Joan is tuning into this animal energetically, and if you have a question you want to get on the air, the number to call is 604-822-2487.
Now, is she kind of funny?
I just got her at a sale. She seems very sweet. I wouldn't say her personality is funny, but I haven't gotten to know her real well yet.
Well, she seems, I think she's going to be willing to do it. I think she wants that connection and that bond, and I think that you're going to find, as her personality unravels, some fun little quirks.
Okay.
I wonder, how is her right shoulder?
She seems to be fine. Physically, she doesn't seem to be have a hitch in her giddy up or anything like that.
It feels to me like she's really strong on the right shoulder, and it may get more sore than the left on occasion, but...
There's one way that she does go better, and I can't think of which way it is right now, that she is stronger loping one way than the other way.
Yeah, but she feels really like, you know, she wants to connect and very, she's got a good work ethic.
Good. Good, yeah, she seems like a sweet mare. I was just, you know, like I say, she's new to me, and I was just wondering what she was thinking, if she's going to be ready to work, and I sure love her, and she seems to be such a sweet mare.
Yeah, she's pretty, I think, as I said, through time, more, I guess maybe not funny ha-ha, but more funny sort of little, you know, fun quirks will come out. Of how
good.
She'll kind of, you know, right now she's the type that you get to take care of and teach, but at some point she may be the one that turns around and teaches you a bunch.
Sure. Sure, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, well, thank you so much for calling. If you have a question for Joan about an animal, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And you can also email your question to spiritualshow@gmail.com. So, Joan, I have a question about animals that do kind of really amazing things. Like, you hear every once in a while that there'll be a cat that saves someone's life because it called 911.
Right. I love that. And I actually have a story in my book about a woman that got kicked in the head by a horse and was unconscious, and the dog went and found the daughter and dragged her down to the barn aisle, and they air vacced the woman out. So... yeah, I think animals they're amazing that way. And that's part of the fact that, you know, at one point their energy went strictly to survival out in the world. And at this point they've evolved along with us and understand a certain amount of intensity in our life, or what we require for survival now. Does that make sense?
I think so, yeah. So they've been living their lives in the past before they became domestic pets. They were, you know, wild animals and surviving, and now just like we've evolved into, you know, creating things that make our lives easier.
Right, and more complicated all at the same time.
Yes, definitely.
and they, you know, they're part of that evolutionary process.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Just like we're all evolving energetically and physically and mentally and emotionally every day and every year. So I'm wondering, I was actually at my volunteer job yesterday, and I was trying to come up with questions for you, and I was asking everybody, if you could ask one question to an animal psychic, what would it be? And everybody's response was, "Do you believe in that stuff?" Which I was actually surprised, because I kind of take it for granted that people would just accept psychic abilities and communication. But I'm wondering, how do you prove your abilities to skeptics?
I don't.
Okay.
I mean, really, I don't. I don't think that, I mean, there are plenty of people that have called me because, and they're skepticals, and they're skeptical about this process, but in the end, I've ended up helping them, and they'll tell me at the end of the session that they didn't believe in it to begin with, but if they're calling me, they need help.
Mm-hmm.
And so very rarely does somebody start out a conversation with, I'm really skeptical, but my dog is blah, 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 blah. You know, usually they lay out the, you know, I need help with my dog, and then at the end they're surprised, and then they admit to me. But I don't, there's so many people that do believe in this, and there's so many people that still want the help or still want to learn how to do this, that I just focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty dang busy just with that.
Yeah. I guess there's so many people that need your help that you don't really need to worry about the people that don't, that aren't interested. That's
yeah,
just not the focus.
Because on some level, I mean, it's so funny what will happen. Like when I went to this Rotary Club and spoke about my book, and, you know, I did this little telepathic game, and this, you know, older guy with his arms crossed was not really participating in the game, and he just sort of, he looked like he was making fun of me. Well, at the end of the meeting, he came up to me and he goes, let me tell you about my animal communication. I had a horse that, you know, I loved more than anything in the world, and this horse happened to notice that a coyote was going after my cows, and just, I thought he was taken off, but he was taken off to protect the cat. You know, I mean, suddenly he had 1 million stories about animal communication. So everybody has a story. I guess the depth to which they believe in it is, you know, their journey. And it's funny how many times I actually will think that, oh, I've lost this person when I'm speaking to a group. And that's the person that comes up to me at the end and goes, oh, I do this too.
Wow, that's awesome. I love to hear stories about that, skeptics being turned around and just seeing, like, I think it's normal to have a healthy level of skepticism. I mean, there are people out there that claim to have abilities and maybe they aren't that accurate, or they don't.
Right, they're hanging a shingle before they're ready.
Exactly.
But the other thing I think about this, too, is to have healthy humor about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember one time when I was married, my ex-husband called me. He goes, I'm going to be late for dinner. I said, that's good, because I have a dead goat on the phone. And, you know, it's just a, you know, there's fun to be had in this, and that is sometimes what brings the skeptics over.
Mm-hmm.
Is having good humor about all of it.
Great. Now, Joan, I wanted to ask you a question about my pet.
Okay.
I have a hamster.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is Binky, B-I-N-K-Y. He's a very cute little teddy bear hamster, orange and white. And he seems to be pretty happy. He likes running in his ball. And when I put him in his ball, he will kind of follow me around,
mm-hmm.
Which I find pretty funny. He'll follow me around my feet and things like that. But if I want to hold him, he just can't sit still. I don't think that it's that he doesn't like me. It's just that he wants to explore and get into mischief. And I'm wondering if there's a way that I can hold him and have some quiet time and be with him where he's not running away and chewing on everything.
Well, he seems to me that someone that's a little bit overstimulated by stuff at times. So I think the more quiet you get and allowing him to just be, you know, what he wants to be for a minute, he'll kind of zone in on that. He feels like he's definitely very cute and very funny. Do you sing?
I do. Yeah, I sing a fair bit around the house.
He likes that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So maybe if you sang to him.
Aww. Oh, maybe I'll sing a song about him sitting still for me.
Yeah.
So
yeah, because I think that what happens is that he's a little fireball, and I think when you get him in your hands, he has that sensibility of, I mean, you start picking up on that kind of, not just static energy, and then you become static. And so I think the more still you get, the better.
Okay, because I do tend to, when I'm around him, I get really excited because he's so cute, and I'll be like, oh, Binky, you're so cute, and I'll talk like that, and maybe that's too stimulating for him.
He gets stimulated easily, and again, your body picks up on his little overstimulation. You get like, oh, please just sit still, so just take a deep breath and let him be.
Okay, cool. I'm going to try that. Well, it's time for another break, so we'll be right back in a second. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or you may be listening online at citr.ca or at cosmicdimensions.com as of today. And we are talking with Joan Ranquette, author of Communication with All Life, a very talented pet communicator, animal psychic. And if you have a question for Joan about your pets, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And we'll be right back in just a minute.
Shindig. Well, thank you very much. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. Howdy hi, Shindiggers, come on in and join the fun.
Starting September 16th at the Railway Club, CITR presents Shindig. Shindig continues its tradition of offering the freshest underground music in this annual competition that spans 13 weeks and includes over 1,000 participants. 27 bands and musicians of all styles duke it out to grab one of three prize-winning top slots. With three great bands each night and free audience prizes, what more can you ask for? This week's challengers are
Ben and Gordovetsky, Boogie Monster, and The Sappers.
Come on down every Tuesday at 9 o'clock to the Railway Club, 579 Dunsmuir Street, for Shindig, where
you get to see the stars of tomorrow today. You don't have to wait an extra day.
I swear to God, I'm not wearing just my underwear right now. This is Beth.
Hi, this is Beth Ditto from The Gossip, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
No, yeah, this is the best thing in the world. You guys are going to be blown away.
You're listening to CITR. This is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie, and we're talking with Joan Ranquette, author of Communication with All Life. She is an animal communicator, and if you want to communicate with the communicator, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. She's taking your calls today, right now, answering your questions about pets, animals, anything you want to know about that. And Joan, I have a question about animals taking on symptoms or illnesses of their owners. In the beginning of your book, you talk about this quite a bit. So why is it that animals, in your opinion, tend to take on symptoms similar to their owners?
Well, I mean, it kind of goes back to even what Abraham talks about, you know, through Jerry and Esther Hicks, that they'll pick up on our frequency or our vibration. Now, in some cases, they're going to not only pick up on our frequency and vibration, but they're also going to, you know, sadly help us by, you know, unfortunately, I've seen a lot of times where an animal will have a particular type of cancer or disease that the person has had, and in a weird way, the animal ends up, you know, crossing over and allowing the person to continue on. And, you know, this gets back to where I'm saying we're all animal communicators. The more we are aware of our frequency or what we're emoting by accident, the more balanced and more harmony can happen in the household.
Hello, Joan? Joan, are you there? Okay, well,
Oops, are you there?
Hi.
Sorry, my phone did something funny. It's Mercury retrograde. anyway, that, you know, I don't like people to blame themselves, but then to become aware of the fact that that happens. Does that make sense?
Okay. So I'm wondering if a animal, like, for example, sometimes animals get cancer and things like that. So if an animal does come down with something like that, oftentimes, like, they'll have their own illness, and it doesn't mean that there's anything related to
right.
to the person. So they can still have their own separate issues.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
And, I mean, it's sometimes they match up, you know, with stuff we have going on, and other times they just have their, you know, they have their own little journey and their own little karma in this world. But frequently, and not always, part of that journey and karma is really linking up with someone and having, you know, like symptoms or, you know, like personalities.
Mm-hmm. We are talking with Joan Ranquette, author of Communication rather, with All Life. And if you want to get on the air and ask a question about your pets, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Or you can email spiritualshow@gmail.com. Now, Joan, another thing that I was reading in your book that I found really interesting, and I think this is something that, whether you have pets or not, would be a great thing to incorporate into your own life or into other people's lives, is your immediate prayers and your answered prayers box. Can you explain a little bit more about that?
I have a little box, and it's sitting here next to me at my desk, that I put, I call them post-it note prayers, and one of these days I'd love to take pictures of all of them. For example, I've been working with, say, a woman named Polly in Wisconsin who's lost her dog, and I just immediately, you know, as we're working, I just put a little note in my post-it note that they're reunited, and I put it in this prayer box, and because that prayer box has had so much success, and, you know, that it's a place that I can place a prayer. I don't have to obsess about it, and I know it's taken care of. And then every so often I sift through and I go, oh, look, this happened. So then I put it in an answered prayer box, because it's almost like going back to what you were saying as far as the skeptical part of us, that we all have a healthy skepticism. Sometimes we doubt, you know, that, oh, my God, this is never going to happen. But when just by having that answered prayer box, I have, you know, visceral proof that things are taken care of. And it just, it's a great little reminder for me when I'm in doubt.
Fantastic. So a nice way to show yourself how things do, miracles do happen, if you want to call them miracles.
Yeah, I used to have a meditation teacher in L.A. that used to call. She said, Joan, you know, you can walk around and say that was a miracle, but after a certain point, you just have to accept it's a norm. It's normal. So I would say, I have a norm. And to somebody else, it would look like a miracle. But I think when you start getting into that state where really great things happen or unusual answers to prayers happen, then it's fun to just say, look, I had a norm.
Fantastic. So I have another question. You talk about in your book about having parties for animals, retirement parties and appreciation parties for animals. And I want to talk about that. And also, what's your opinion on weddings for dogs?
Well, I almost had one here last summer, but the dogs broke up.
Aww.
I think it goes back to what we were talking about a little bit earlier, that, you know, healthy skepticism and healthy humor. I mean, and really having fun, because, you know, like, for example, right now, a lot of people are, you know, there's a lot of confusion in the world with all the things that have gone on, and we come home with that energy of uh-oh the stock market and uh-oh the jobs and uh-oh, and so doing something that's celebrating with our animals, because they're the ones picking up on all our crazy things going on. So that's one way to kind of shift the energy for you. I mean, you know, if you're having a bad day, but you have to go down and pick up a bunch of dog cookies, it doesn't get any better than that, you know. So it's one way to shift the energy for everybody. But I also think that, you know, like kids or like any of us deserve to be celebrated over certain things. I mean, a lot of times people have brought in that next show dog or that next show horse. And so, you know, in an effort to not make the animals, you know, jealous of each other or have, you know, and on top of it all, then we feel guilty about moving this new show horse into the barn and the other show horse is no longer showing. Or so it kind of takes away the guilt and honors that spirit, and especially like in the case of, in the book, I talk about a puppy and the type of work they were doing is, you know, I can't even, anyway, the dogs are a little bit aggressive, so, you know, it just helps to the relationship between the two dogs that, okay, this guy over here was a professional. He's won everything. We know that you've got all the ambition in the world to come in and take over, but in the meantime, you need to honor this guy here who's already done it.
Okay, so because a lot of times the older dog who's been there, who was there first, can feel threatened by
a new dog. And the younger dog will come in with all of its, especially if it hasn't been neutered yet, sort of all its va-va-va-voom, I'm the cool one. And, you know, it's hard then for the older dog to take.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of times, you know, the younger dog will just be ignored by the older dog.
Mm-hmm.
And then the younger dog's like, hey, I've got to get the attention here. So it's... to me, having a retirement party is a great way for, you know, you bring other people and dogs in, and you have fun. One of the stories in there, I talked to a friend's dog that he thought he was going to have to put the dog down, and the dog didn't want to go. He wanted to have a party. So they made up that it was his birthday, and they invited all these people over, and the people were, you know, kind of gasping at the fact that they were like, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm here at a dog birthday party. And when they went to sing happy birthday to him, they had this on video. It's so amazing. He hadn't walked. He was an older dog. He hadn't walked that well for a while. When they brought out the birthday cake, he came running up and howled all the way through the song. Mm-hmm. And then he died on his own about a week later, but he got his party.
Fabulous. So... it sounds like he was going to be put down by the veterinarian, and rather than, but before that happened, he had a send off, and that was his desire that he communicated to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times, because I've seen that happen where animals will be ill or older, or sometimes they're not even that sick. Like I used to work in a vet hospital, and there was an older dog that came in, and he was having problems similar to my friend's cat, where he was having trouble with
going potty outside.
Yes. And so the man, I mean, he was this beautiful dog, so loving and wonderful, and the owner came in and had him put down. And it was so sad. And so it sounds like what you're saying is that when, I mean, it's just like a person, when we're ready to go, we're ready to go.
Yeah.
And sometimes it just takes something extra to give, for us to be ready and to be okay with going, like a send-off party, like saying our goodbyes and things like that.
Yeah, and it's like, why have the funeral after they die? Why not have the celebration of their life while they're still alive?
Mm-hmm. So they get to experience it.
Yeah. I mean, that celebration can be even just dinner with your spouse or your partner and the other animals in the house. It doesn't have to be, you know, call our friends over. But a lot of times people like to have kind of almost like a wake before the vet comes, so that everybody can come say goodbye, things like that. I mean, it's just, you know, they're such a huge part of our lives, and I think other people enjoy being able to have that moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's good for everybody.
For sure. It's like closure and celebration, like you said, of someone's life while they're still alive, so that they get to enjoy it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. This is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie, and we are talking today with Joan Ranquette. She is the author of Communication with All Life. She is a pet psychic, an animal communicator. And if you have a question about your animals, then you want to get on the air right now. The number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Or you can email spiritualshow@gmail.com. And we have about 15 minutes left in the show. Coming up next is Scotty's Scenic Drive. So you might want to stick around for that. And like I said, if you want to get on the air and ask a question, 822-2487. So, Joan, I wanted to ask a question. I've got all my notes here, and they're kind of all over the place. Yes. Okay, so you talk about, in your book, about dogs having jobs and purposes, and it gives them a sense of fulfillment, and that they're appreciated, and that they're, because especially dogs, they really like to be helpful and to be, because they're so social. But what about guide dogs or assistant dogs that they kind of work nonstop? How do those dogs feel about having a full-time job?
Well, you know, it's a pretty big program to get through. So a lot of any dog that's, like, I've had a lot of friends that ended up with dogs that didn't make that program. So I think the dogs, you know, most, they're pretty, as much as they like to have fun, they also are pretty much here to be of service. And they get that, or at least the animals that make it all the way through that program certainly get it. And so I think, you know, there's a lot of pride and joy in that job. I've known quite a few dogs, and I've seen some of them, you know, talk about a retirement. I've seen quite a few of those dogs that just, boy, they will not quit, even when the new guide dog comes in. They're just, you know, that's what they do, and that's their little karma, their little life purpose, and they're going to do it. Again, a dog that isn't going to be fit for that sort of a program usually won't make it, and, you know, the people that train, like Delta Society, things like that here in the States, I mean, it's they find wonderful homes for the dogs that don't quite make the program. But, you know, it's a long haul to become trained like that. So, I mean, there's amazing programs out there like the prison program where dogs that have that are on death row end up in these programs where they help, you know, prisoners that are on death row by allowing the prisoner to train them to then go out and be, you know, an assistance dog for somebody that's disabled. So there's, you know, the dogs that have signed up for that job, I mean, they usually love their job. They may be stressed, and they may be, you know, they may have a harder time than, say, my dog, who's asleep right now. But they also, I think they get great pride and joy out of that.
Fantastic. So it sounds like, and would it be even more important for a job, for a dog that is working so much to have maybe more parties of appreciation, or?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, the type of people that have been, that have come to me for help with the animals like that, you know, they've already done it. I mean, stories are written that, you know, infiltrate the internet and things. There was one guide dog that I can't even remember the woman's name, but I remember the dog's name was Mame, and she I mean, that dog had won so many awards as guy, you know, assistance dog of the year, year after year. And so that dog was always publicly honored. And then she crossed over about 5 or 6 years ago. And, I mean, there were big write-ups about that dog. So, you know, their job doesn't go unnoticed.
Now, I want to ask you, Joan, about, just before I do, if you want to get on the air, we have about 12 minutes left in the show. So if you have a question about your pets, you should give us a call now. The number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Or you can email spiritualshow@gmail.com. This is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Now, Joan, I wanted to ask you about euthanasia, having dogs put down. How do, or any kind of pet, how do the animals feel about that?
Well, I mean, I guess it would depend on the situation, but some animals really need the assistance because, for example, like we were just talking about, a dog that has a big job, and that doesn't have to be, that could be with any person, you know, a dog that has a big job, meaning I'm so connected to my person, I'm so worried about their changing their job, I'm so worried about this person going through this shift in life, and I can't leave yet because I need to help this person with this transformation. You know, sometimes euthanasia is a way as the body completely disintegrates, even if the spirit is still moving, to assist the dog. And, you know, hopefully people are doing it only when they're ready, meaning the animal being ready. But, you know, we've certainly seen people that have, you know, been stuck in a coma or stuck in a situation where it just, you know, they're pretty well done. And, you know, so there's, it's an important thing for animals that are going to hang on for their person, but there's, you know, no life left in their body, even if their mind is still going. Does that make sense?
Yes. So sometimes, just like when people, when humans are very ill and they're having trouble crossing over.
Yeah. You know, I also believe that, like there's a labor coming into this life, there's also a labor going out of that life. And some of illness that we watch with our animal companions is a really important lesson. So I really, you know, I think it's, you know, a lot of times people will call me right before they have to do that, and so they get a wonderful opportunity to kind of do a life review with the animal and see if there's anything left on, you know, to be done. And the other, you know, we... honoring that labor of going out is a really important thing because, you know, a lot of us have aging parents or we have to... I had a sister die when I was 24. She was 21, and, I mean, I was there from the moment of the cancer diagnosis until the day, literally the minute she left her body. So, I mean, I understand, you know, it's unusual that I would have had that young, but we all have to face our... mortality, I suppose, or certainly that of our family members and friends. And, you know, again, we can go to all these seminars with all these great teachers that are humans, and I definitely, you know, encourage continually spiritually growing, but sometimes that spiritual lesson is sitting right in front of us in a little dog body or a cat body or a horse body. And so honoring that labor going out of this lifetime is also, you know, I think so rich and so important.
Fantastic. Now, Joan, we have an email question here from someone named Polly. It says, I have a horse who is very talented, but when she gets to the show, she often gets overexcited, sometimes to the point that she can't concentrate or perform. and sometimes even has some potentially dangerous reactions like bucking, etc. What is the cause of this and how can I fix it?
Well, I mean, that's definitely a great question that would be more, would be something that would be fun to go into depth with the horse, but it feels like there was at least one bad experience young, when the horse was young, and just, you know, again, it's, believe it or not, it's a little bit like your hamster. She just, the horse gets very overstimulated and everybody around reacts, and the horse needs some, definite some emotional leadership and sort of maybe some, I don't know, there's techniques like emotional freedom technique, EFT, where you could kind of undo some of the intensity and kind of reset the horse's program for the show ring. So some energy work.
Fantastic.
And, but the cause, I think, was early on. And the adrenals run, everything kind of goes askew. And I, you know, sometimes when you know, just like with people, if you have sort of like a memory stuck in there and then it stimulates, it literally stimulates chemistry in the brain to just kind of go off and lose it.
So, Polly, hopefully that answers your question, and thank you for emailing spiritualshow@gmail.com.
And I, of course, I wonder if lots of magnesium helps.
Lots of magnesium?
Yeah, just trying to get more magnesium into the body and redirecting the focus on the horse show.
Okay. Does magnesium help to calm a horse, or what
calms
does magnesium
emotionally
do?
And calms all the muscles. So, you know, when you get scared or you get recharged by an experience, we forget that we also have a physical response and, you know, becomes cellular memory. And so if you can at least address the emotions and the physical body, and I think redirect the mind that this is going to be fun, there's no pressure, then, yeah, something like a magnesium really helps with dogs and horses and cats and people.
Great. So you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. This is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Coming up in about 5 minutes is Scotty's Scenic Drive. So if you want to stick around for that, ska music for the weekend. And so, Joan, we are wrapping up the show in just a couple minutes. I want to thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
And this is Joan Rank, author of Communication with All Life. She is an animal communicator. And if listeners want to purchase your book, where's the best place to buy it?
They can get it on my site, which is www.joanranquette.com, JoanranQuet. Or they can go to Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. It's in lots of... it's in regular bookstores as well as like New Age bookstores. Trying to get it into pet stores.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Get some big chain like Petcetera or something. Do you have Petcetera in the States?
I don't think so, but that's another good idea. Yeah. I'll call them also.
they're all over Canada, and so I think that would be great to learn how to communicate with our own animals. So in the book, the last portion of the book, I believe, talks a lot about connecting and gives some techniques on getting in touch with the one mind or source or whatever it is that you want to call it, and just settling down and connecting with the energy that connects all of us, all of the living beings on this planet. So it's really a great book. It's very uplifting, I find, even if you don't have a pet, it's a really fun read and very uplifting and mood boosting. So I would definitely recommend it. And Joan, I want to thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you. It was really fun.
Yeah, it was really good. And maybe we'll have you on again. So definitely stay in touch. Thanks again for being on the show, Joan. So you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Here we go.
Whoa.
That's Hamster Dance. That's for my hamster, Binky. And thank you again to Joan Ranquette for being on the show. Next week, I'll be playing a recording about the Kabbalion, rewritten by Doreen Virtue. If you have a show idea or you want to be a guest on the show, contact me at spiritualshow@gmail.com or add me as a friend on Facebook. This is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie, and I'm here every Friday from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific Time. You can check out past shows on podcast at citr.ca. And if you're on Cosmic Dimensions Radio, thanks for listening. Up next, Scotty's Scenic Drive on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Let's try it.